Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
I mean, what more can I say than that's already been said about the game yesterday? Well, there's a ton that I got to say about it, because that Niners and Saints game was the game of the year, which ended in game-winning fashion.
Snap is high, the kick is up, and it is good! What a win for the 49ers!
48-46 was your final yesterday in New Orleans, and that game-winning field goal, if you only heard that sound clip and you did not watch any of the game beforehand, then, man, you missed out on a lot of stuff that was leading up to that game-winning field goal drive. Good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show up until 6 o'clock this morning. Now, no, we're not the pregame to any sort of game that's coming up. We're just the pre-show to the game as a station. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation. So, well, this game, it had everything. And I'm kind of going to be like Bill Hader's character from Saturday Night Live, Stefan. This game has everything. It had everything. It didn't have much defense in the first half. That cleaned up a little bit in the second half, but the offense was going toe for toe. I'm seeing all these tweets at the beginning of the game. Like, is this an SEC game? Is this a college game? Because that's kind of what it looked like leading up to the second half. But that second half had a couple of turnovers, had a couple of trick plays. Had a lot of things going on. I want to get your thoughts. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. But it started off with a Jared Cook touchdown, and then it also started off with this.
On third and goal, Garoppolo with time, looking, firing. It is caught by Kendrick Bourne for the touchdown.
Kendrick Bourne had a great game. He had a couple of touchdowns. I think now the 49ers wide receiver core, with Emmanuel Sanders just coming out firing right away. Now, and I will get to them in a little bit. There's so much that we can talk about. But as of right now, I don't know who the number one receiver is, but either Deebo Samuel or Emmanuel Sanders could easily be that number one. The beginning of the season, we were kind of arguing about whether this is just a wide receiver core that's full of number twos. And then when they brought Emmanuel Sanders over, you're thinking, all right, maybe they got their number one. Then he had a good game or two, but you didn't know if you had a solidified number one. Then Deebo Samuel kind of came into his own, and Emmanuel Sanders was sort of a forgotten about guy. But then he came out yesterday and had a big game, had about 150 yards receiving on 7 receptions. And Deebo Samuel, it just feels like he's that receiver that the defense forgets about, and the 49ers just know how to use him in every way possible. But there were a couple of plays that ended up making all the difference in this game, and you're going to find a theme here. But this was the first of two of, I think, some of the biggest plays that they had on defense.
Taysom Hill's got it, and he gets shocked. 49ers were ready with Marcel Harris and Fred Warner, and so the two-point conversion is denied.
So you didn't think much of that at the beginning of the game when the Saints decided to go for the two-point conversion because of the penalty, but that ended up being really big. Now look at the score, 48-46, and there's another one that happened a little later on that we'll get to as well, but those two ended up being the biggest plays on defense were the stops on the two-point conversions. And I'll play the audio a little later on from that. Shout-out Fox, by the way. Great job by Burkhart and Kevin Burkhart and Charles Davis on the call. They were fantastic yesterday. But I didn't. I haven't seen an offense like the Saints in the first half where it just felt like they were having their way with the 49er defense. That was the first time I'd seen the 49ers defense legitimately vulnerable. Now, there have been times where they've given up some big plays. Not every single defense can be perfect. I mean, hell, the best defenses of all time have given up some big plays here and there. But giving up 27 in the first half, I did not expect that to happen. I thought that the defense was going to be getting to Drew Brees. Now we knew that Drew Brees was going to be making those short intermediate passes, right? Two-step drops, just little slants to Michael Thomas, little screens to Kamara, who didn't have that great of a game, by the way. But I did think that the 49er defense was going to get to him, and it seemed like they were pretty surgical. That's a word that's always used, surgical, over the 49er defense in that first half. But this 49er offense, Jimmy Garoppolo with his best game, not only as a 49er, I think as in his NFL career, but this was one of the plays, and this is just one of the many touchdowns that you can look on. And I'm going to ask you a little later on in the show, just which was your favorite touchdown of the day, or which one do you think made the biggest difference? And I'm going to be talking about this a little later on, but you're getting going to get a little teaser from me because we got a lot of people getting into their cars, right? We got a lot of people who are just getting up to start their day, so they're not going to be able to hear me say this at 5:06. But this touchdown was my favorite touchdown of the day.
Now the 49ers respond with a fake. Garoppolo's got all day. He's going to launch it deep down the field, going for it all and getting it. Emmanuel Sanders, not touched, still on his feet, inside the 10, and he scores. 75-yard bomb from Jimmy Garoppolo to Emmanuel Sanders.
That's when you knew that, okay, this is going to be a slugfest. This is going to be a slugfest. That was my favorite touchdown of the day because it's so easy. Let's look at the Seahawks and the Rams game last night. The Seahawks were down by that margin at the beginning, just not doing anything, and they couldn't claw their way back up. But as soon as the Saints scored another touchdown, now the Saints defense did get a stop. But as soon as the Saints scored another touchdown, then the Niners just came back and threw a 75-yard bomb to Emmanuel Sanders to show that Jimmy Garoppolo is not necessarily just a short pass, kind of, just a quick play sort of quarterback. That proved that they can be explosive and they can make the big plays that not everyone expected them to make. But just this entire game was filled with all of that sort of stuff, but that was my favorite touchdown of the day simply because it just showed that no matter even if the defense is having an off day and we felt like the defense has been carrying this offense and carrying this 49er team for quite a while now, not for the past couple of games, but we've been feeling like it, because of the 49er defense, it doesn't matter how they play on offense. Well, the defense had a little bit of an off first half, and then Jimmy Garoppolo was able to get it done with Emmanuel Sanders. That was just, I can't get over that game. That was crazy to watch. That's a lot to take in. Your heart is not meant to take in that much exhilaration at 10 in the morning. That's not what's supposed to happen. Between the hours of 10 and 1 on a Sunday, traditionally, human beings are supposed to be relaxed. You know, maybe do whatever you do on a Sunday. Cook a nice Sunday breakfast, maybe go to church, do whatever you got to do. Your heart's not meant to be racing like that at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's what this game did, because it really did have everything. It was relatively even on both sides, too, in terms of just the stats at the end of the game. The Niners were leading in time of possession toward the end. They kind of tried taking a little bit of the Ravens route, I thought, where they were just trying to run the clock out and go with as many plays as possible. And we'll get to the second half a little later on, but 28-25 in first downs is how much the Saints were leading by. 5-for-11 and 6-for-12 in third down efficiency. That's the Saints and the 49ers, respectively. I mean, they both were pretty successful on fourth down, and 68 total plays for the Saints, 63 for the Niners, 465 total yards, 516 yards for the Niners, like 12 total drives for both teams. The only thing that was the biggest difference was the average yards per play, and that's the Niners overtaking the Saints, 8.2 to 6.8. Damn, this was a good game. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 if you want to get in on the conversation. Let's see here. We're getting a lot of texts already at 5 a.m. From the 925, 49er fans showed up huge in New Orleans. They were so loud. Yeah, you knew when Kyle Juszczyk got a reception, then you're like, and you heard the you knew for like, damn. All right, they actually showed up here. Like, that's what told me on the TV, like, just how many 49er fans were in the Superdome yesterday. They really did show up. That was huge for them. From the 650, thank God Robbie Gould hit that field goal. Otherwise, you'd be talking about how Jimmy G can't win the big game. And from the next, it also sounded like a Niner home game. What happened to that Saints home crowd? Niner fans paraded in the streets after. All right, for one, yeah, great with the fans. But come on. Have you heard me talk on this before? Like I never say whenever they've lost by a field goal or whatever they've done is just because Jimmy G can't win the big game. I've always talked about there's other factors. You must have not heard me correctly, but don't put that on me, man. Don't put that on me. From the 415, Jimmy DeBourne for the second time, buying time from the 510. The 49ers have been so exciting this year to watch. Truly fun to watch the game at the stadium and at home. This team is promising. Jimmy G is unraveling before our eyes. If he doesn't get a Super Bowl this year, next year is a lock. It says lock in all caps. Let's not think about next season, because this season, what they got going on right now is special, right? Like that game yesterday showed you a ton of things. For one, showed that you want the 49ers and Saints, I think, in the NFC Championship game. If you're going to have to go for two teams, the Packers, I mean, they're great and they have Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, even against the Redskins, the Redskins were still clawing around, hanging back on against the Packers. The Seahawks, they got destroyed by the Rams. It just didn't look like they wanted to show up for that game. If there are two teams that I want to see in the NFC Championship, it's the 49ers and the Saints, and I think that's a lock. And we already had what some want to be the Super Bowl. That was last week with the 49ers and the Ravens, and this week they showed at least something plausible, like legitimately plausible, which is the 49ers and the Saints being in the NFC Championship game. You can't just trust the Ravens to be in the Super Bowl. That's not just a straight up lock. Even though the Patriots lost to the Chiefs yesterday, and the Patriots kind of got robbed, but you know what can you do? It's not like it's. We've been watching the Patriots get some favorable calls all the time. That was like the first game ever where they didn't get an entire game favored their way. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 if you want to get in on the conversation. Going to talk about the second half, though. Going to talk about George Kittle and what he means to this 49ers offense. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. 888-957-9570. Stephen Lankford in with you up until 6 o'clock here on the 95.7 The Game.
Garoppolo fires. It is caught. Still on his feet is Kittle with a big play and the stiff arm. George Kittle, flag five. He's down to the 30. What a run by George Kittle. Take it on, everybody, but the penalty is huge. There are multiple flags. It would be a 39-yarder. On 4th and 2.
Now, that play coming on fourth and two after the Saints scored the touchdown with Tre'Quan Smith, and that was, for one, that was insane because that drive beforehand and the Saints going up against the Niners, you felt like, all right, a couple of minutes, that's quite a lot of time for Drew Brees to do what he needs to do, but also it's like, this is the 49er defense. Are they really going to go and stop him like that? Then Richard Sherman ends up going out the game with what looked like an injury, and the secondary was a little confused because the Saints did the smart thing, and they hurried up. I know it's a shame that Richard Sherman was hurt, but the Saints hurried up their offense. They had a guy wide open on the right-hand side. I think it was Ted Ginn, and then they just got a big first down out of that, and that just let them down into the scoring drive. But that play with George Kittle on fourth and two, that play alone has just solidified him as the top-tier tight end. There's been a lot who have he's the number one guy now. He's that number. There have been some, not all, but here in the Bay Area, we know that George Kittle's the best tight end in football, but there are still some who consider him to be second to Travis Kelce, maybe. There are some just non George Kittle believers out there, but that play where he was face masked, I mean, how far did he travel with the guy's hand on his face mask trying to take him down? I think he went 20 yards with a guy's hand on his face mask. The dude was not about to let the 49ers go down like that. Right? Go down because the Saints took an opportunity with Richard Sherman going out and going down the field that way. But that George Kittle play, that had to be the play. Is that the play of the year? In all of football, just with the stakes, because this game was huge. Them having to win this game, that's what's going to solidify them to possibly get that first round bye. They are the number one seed now. With all the with what was riding on it, with how the entire game was going, with the Saints always clawing back and keeping up with the 49er defense, we know that was the play of the year for the 49ers. But was that the play of the year in the entire NFL landscape? Like, that's for 2019, 2020, that could be the play that defines the 49ers for the regular season, because it was just crazy. From the Chilled Not a Body text line at 95795, from the 408, I'm surprised by how much Raheem Mostert has been improved, and he has been one of my favorite players to watch. From the 925 also, that play was quite possibly the play of the year. From the 650, that was a face mask saving touchdown. From the 650, Kittle must never leave the Niners. Extend that man. I've been talking about the contracts for these upcoming years, and you know, you got to pay Buckner, you got to pay Kittle, you got to pay, you're going to make the decision whether you're going to pay Armstead and whether you're going to keep Dee Ford or not. But with George Kittle, he's got one more year left on his deal. I'm just like, give him the money now. Give him all the money you can now. Don't even wait. Just give him whatever you can give him right now. Or you can just wait for another tight end to set the market, because the market for a tight end isn't all that high right now. But just whatever it is, set the market with George Kittle. You need to sign that guy. Let's not forget, too, that he's playing with a bone chip in his ankle. There were a couple of plays toward the end there. That George Kittle play was the number one, but the number two, there were two trick plays in that game that had me going. There were three, actually, that the 49ers ran that we haven't seen before. Well, we've seen the one with Kyle Juszczyk that I'm going to get to in a second, but you haven't seen Richie James in the Wildcat. Now, the Saints just snuffed that out, and I actually was expecting Richie James to maybe try and throw a touchdown pass, because he was a quarterback at one point. But there was the trick play with Emmanuel Sanders. There was the handoff to Kittle, then the Kittle pitch to Mostert, in which Juszczyk took a big hit with the fake to him. And then there was the Richie James, and there's, I don't know which one was my favorite play, but that one just before George Kittle's big fourth and two, that fake to Juszczyk, that Juszczyk pitching it to Raheem Mostert, you're like, what isn't Kyle Shanahan just throwing at him right now? He was throwing the kitchen sink. From the 408, it's quite obvious the Niners are the most hated team in the NFL. No matter what they do, somebody has something negative said about it. There's no doubt in my mind that George Kittle is the best hiding in football, bar none. You know what? I don't think that's the case anymore. That might have been beforehand. You know, last season when George Kittle's just a big reason as to why Nick Mullins was even in a conversation early this year to see if he could take over for Jimmy Garoppolo. George Kittle was a big reason for that last season, just for all of Nick Mullins' success, and he wasn't getting much love. But that play yesterday, if you look on Twitter and you're watching the national guys, like, everyone, I think, gained some respect for the 49ers. It was a respect game. It was a respect game. You had a lot. You had, you know, Ryan Clark out here earlier in ESPN saying whether they're contenders or pretenders, and then he walked that back as soon as he realized they weren't. And then you had the respect of everyone after that George Kittle play, though. If you look on Twitter, Twitter was going nuts. And Kyle Brandt on NFL Network, he does his Angriest Runs segment on TV, and that one's by far going to get the top spot. But you're seeing just so much, the respect factor for the 49ers now, it's there. Like, there's no one else who's going to be questioning what they can do. There's no one who's questioning whether, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is a big game quarterback. He had to put the team on his back yesterday, and I know him and Emmanuel Sanders had that one-on-one connection. You can give a lot of the credit to Sanders as well, but Jimmy Garoppolo hung in there. He was getting pressured a lot. And we'll talk about Weston Richburg. That's a conversation for another day. But Ben Garland was great in his stead. Do they have a number one receiver? I don't know who it is, but they do. It's either Emmanuel Sanders or Deebo Samuel. I can't really tell you which one it is, but those two guys can be number one receivers. I think they've proven that. Raheem Mostert coming in as a third string running back. And then just being the starter immediately. And we were talking about that last week. We were saying whether Raheem Mostert should get a majority of the carries now. You know, just give Breida some have Breida come in with fresh legs anytime. And you saw that come into play yesterday. Raheem Mostert with another great day. And by the way, that celebration in the end zone, you don't just surf on the ground and then get up like and elevate like he did, you know, to get up on that fake surfboard in that celebration in the end zone. Like, sometimes these celebrations show just how athletic these guys are, and him getting up onto his fake surfboard, I was like, Jesus, I could never do that. But this game, it felt like it just answered really any questions that you may have had. And I know I talked about the wide receiver one, but that's a great question to have. Whether you want Emmanuel Sanders or Deebo Samuel as your number one, that's fine. That's totally fine. I think what is solidified, though, is Kendrick Bourne is your number three. He didn't get a lot of love after that Seahawks game, but he's proven to be just a very reliable number three receiver. Whenever Samuel and Sanders are taking up all the coverage and Kendrick Bourne is just left one-on-one, he's proven to be a very capable wide receiver. The capability they have to get open, that's what's very impressive to me about the receiving core. From the 925, so excited about Deebo, the future. He's an animal. From the 209, already 2-3 games, which the Niners are in the national media, say are games of the year. That's the thing, is you knew that every single game last year with the Chiefs was going to be an exciting one. And going up against the Chiefs and the Patriots, that lived up to the billing. You know, the Rams were the same way last year, too. Like, any game that they were going to play, you knew, at least against a good team, a team that had, like a way more than a .500 record, you know, way better than an even win-loss team, you knew that that was going to be a good game. This has turned – the 49ers have turned into that team this year where they're just going to give whoever – like, it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a dogfight. From the 480, Mostert hopped up without using his hands. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? I mean, hell – Marquise Goodwin, he hasn't done much this season, and he wasn't even in pads yesterday. But that celebration he had where he did the long jump, that was crazy. You know, it's just like Mostert, when he did that, I was like, what is going on? That's not supposed to be a thing that a normal human should do. All right. Coming up, going to get to Kyle Shanahan's press conference, going to play the entirety for it for you. That's going to be the interview of the day, and I'm going to throw out a question next, and I want to talk about a couple of plays. One, and this is involving the Saints. One, the touchdown to Jared Cook at the beginning of the game. Should that have been a touchdown? And two, why were the Saints constantly complaining about the fake punt that ended up getting broken up? I want to get into all that. We got a lot to get into, but Kyle Shanahan will be coming up next. That'll be the interview of the day for the pregame show leading up to 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. That 49ers Saints game threw everything out of whack. Here is Kyle Shanahan after the big 48-46 win.
Injuries. D Ford hamstring. All right, never returned. Richburg knee and ankle, didn't return. Bosa had a knee, he returned. Witherspoon stinger returned. Juice was evaluated for a head injury. He returned. K-1, concussion. He did not return. And Sherm had a hamstring. I didn't get a check on it, but it was at the end of the game, so he didn't return.
Any initial word on the Richburg injury?
No. They don't tell me now. I didn't get to talk to him, but, I mean, obviously he was carted off, and I just saw him on crutches. So, man, I don't think it's going to be too good, but we won't know until probably tomorrow.
Kyle, what are your emotions through that last drive? You know, 4th and 2, to see Tony Depp. Like, what are you thinking about during that whole thing?
Just trying to call the right play and pretty locked in. You know, it's when you go through a game like that, I mean, that was as cool of a game as I've been a part of. A lot of emotions back and forth. It'll probably hit me a little bit harder when I get on the plane. But it was, the guys just kept battling. We had to call that timeout right before that. I mean, that stadium was so loud that it was hard to hear the right play calls in the huddle just because they couldn't hear it through the microphone. So had to use the timeout there, and we got it quieted down so we could call that, and ended up being worth it because Kittle made a hell of a route, broke that tackle, and taking it down the sidelines. That I thought I was going to have to call a number of more plays to get into field goal range, but Kittle took care of that fast, which probably saved a few years of my life.
Can you enjoy something like this in the middle of it, or is it agony? What's it like for you?
No, you never totally enjoy in the middle of it. Just like you don't enjoy a fight probably in the middle of it, but you enjoy the challenge. I think that's why we coach. It's also why guys want to take a year off here and there too. But it's also what you miss, why everyone comes back, because that stuff's intense. And when it's all said and done, you feel like you accomplished something. And it's pretty cool to do that with the group of guys that we had in there.
You talked about this before, but can you talk a little about Jimmy's just inability for nothing to phase him? It's loud in there. You're coming from behind. And how we just keep going?
No, he's unbelievable. No matter what happens, he's had a lot of good games this year. He's had some times where he has made some mistakes, and he's the same guy every day. And just to be able to deal with that crowd noise, to deal with adversity that went in and out throughout the game, to deal with me, you know, he's the same, and he's really fun to coach for that reason. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could just tell. I mean, he did an awesome job with the play calls in that element. Did a very good job with the silent cadence and everything. Got our guys in and out of the huddle as good as you could in that atmosphere. And always see more when I get to the tape, but I thought he was very impressive throughout the game.
What's the genesis of the Emmanuel Sanders touchdown?
What's that?
The genesis of the Emmanuel Sanders touchdown.
The what of it?
Where did it start?
The genesis. Got it. I mean, that was the first time that play's ever been ran, so we made it. No, that play's been ran for a while. I think Miami ran it last. No, the Bills ran it last week, and I've seen the Jets have ran it. Gase has ran a number. A lot of people run that, and we had it pretty set up because we've given a lot of plays to Debo. So for a pursuit to chase Debo like that, got Emmanuel a good look, and he barely got it off. So we were nervous, but he got it off, and Raheem made a catch, and it was a great play.
As much as you're known for your innovation on offense, did you have a few extra special things for these guys just because of what they presented for you potentially?
Yeah, we knew we were going to have to do some things like that because it's a very, very sound defense. And when you go against a sound defense like that that has the players they do and is coached up that well, they make you go on a lot of long drives. And so, you know, we knew we had to take some risks to try to get some explosives. And you try to make them calculated, but sometimes they hit, sometimes they miss, just like the risk we took at the end. When we got that sack on 2nd and 5, I think it was. That was a risk we took that didn't work. So there was a number that did work, and you got to do that versus a good team like that.
You guys have had your defense kind of get beat up like this. What was that like to go through? What was the defense saying when they were giving up some yards to the touchdown?
It was different just because of how how unbelievable they played all year. But they went against a good offense today, a great coach, and a great quarterback. You know, two of the best to be in this game, and they had a real good plan. They got us on a couple things and made some big plays, and I thought we'd settle down a little bit, but they still got us in the second half, and you know, it was good that the offense was on it today, which I think we owed it to them. Definitely, because I think there's been a number of games this year the offense hasn't had to be on it, just because of how great they've been playing. And they definitely didn't have their best game today, but they did enough for us to win. So happy with that.
Explosives on that in the beginning of the game. Do you worry about your defense being out there so much? I mean, the time of possession was very
sweet. Yeah, totally. I mean, if we know we're going to score, I would rather be 20 plays and work the clock totally. But you never feel guilty when you score a touchdown. So
about the sequence of. Punt the ball loose on Kamara, you guys are able to convert that to a touchdown there with Kittle. Just what about that? Just
on which one? Sorry, I missed the beginning.
Third quarter, the fumble on they punch out of Kamara.
Yeah.
You guys come back and get a touchdown with Kittle right there. Just what that whole sequence kind of did?
It was huge because, we had our first turnover, I think, on the opening drive of the third quarter, which gave them, and I think our defense stood pretty strong there, but we did it in field goal range, so they got a field goal right away, I believe. And I don't think I want to say it was the next series, but I'm not quite sure. But we definitely didn't score. We gave it to them in their area. They were moving. And then to get that turnover and us get it right back, it's very hard to beat a team like that when it's going there when you lose a turnover battle. So to tie it up right there and then for us to go in and get a touchdown, we gave them 3 and we were able to get back 7 with it. So that was a huge change.
Kyle, did you come into the game as a play caller knowing if you were going to have to match wits with Peyton? Or do you sense it once the game gets going, it's a fast break game?
No, we had a pretty good idea knowing going into it just because of the style that they play with. And it's not always just trying to match them. It's mainly with what we're going against. It's more about going against their defense and all their players and Dennis. That's more what we're thinking about. And, then you decide on how many risky calls you want to keep doing based off of how our defense was playing. But we knew we were going to come out early with that stuff and their offense was scoring a lot, so they never feel like we should slow down with it.
How did you feel like you all handled the noise?
I thought we handled the noise great. It was not perfect because there's a lot of things that we messed up. I mean, that's how we had to use that timeout right before Kittle's play. But it is what it is. That's one of the huge advantages with being getting home field in the NFL is that you can't hear play calls. It's hard for guys to hear it at the line. I think we did have a false start down inside on the 6-yard line. I think it was a right tight end, but we were able to score the next play. So I thought when it did hurt us, we were able to overcome it.
A couple more, please. Two more.
Ask this early, but how would you describe just what George means to the team? Obviously, production is one thing, but just what he embodies in terms of his approach and attitude when he's playing.
I think he means a ton. I mean, everyone knows how good of a player he is, but when one of your best players has the mentality he has, that changes everything. I kind of always say that. Old linemen don't have a choice. They got to be tough down in and down out. But the mentality of your offense on how tough a team you are has to do with your skill positions. And I think our skill guys, with Debo, and Bourne and Manuel, they've been playing very physically. Kittle's as physical of a tight end there is in this league on run plays and the pass plays. And I think those guys have been able to match our line and give us a pretty tough mentality here over the season.
What is winning this game in this situation?
Not much. It means that were we 10-2? It means we're 11-2. Means we're 11-2. So we'll see what else happens. But everyone likes to talk about that each week. But and it'd be more fun to talk about if everyone else had bad records. But there's a lot of teams that have good records. So it's just one week at a time. And if you start feeling good about yourself, it's going to be over for you fast. And if you get real down and count yourself out, then you're not giving yourself a chance because it's going to come down to the last week with the number of teams in the NFC. But we're looking forward to next week.
All right. Thanks, folks.
Thanks, guys.
That was Kyle Shanahan after the 49ers 48-46 win over the Saints. You know what? I'm just going to play the game-winning field goal one more time because someone on the Chilton Autobody text line 95795 brought up a very good point.
Snap is high, the kick is up, and it is good! What a win for the 49ers!
From the 209, or rather the 408, how about a shout-out to our punter, Mitch Wisnowski, grabbing the high snap to get it down for gold to win it. Not going to lie, flashbacks from the missed kicks in the beginning of the season ran through my mind. Yeah. So this is a dead serious thought that I had, and I'm not lying. I'm not just saying this to pander to your text. But when they showed Robbie Gould and he's just taking practice kicks, you know, just in case it's a possibility, he didn't know whether he was going to be getting out there or not. And in the background, I see Mitch Wisnowski practicing his holds. And I remember thinking before that kick, I'm like, you know, we think that all the pressure's on the kicker. And you know what? 95% of it is, maybe even 90%. But also the other percentage, the remainder of that, is on the holder. And I'm thinking, you know, not only is Robbie Gould like zoned in right now, thinking like, look, if I miss this kick, like, you know, it's going to be my head, blah, 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 with all the blowback that I could get. Whatever. But Mitch Wisnowski, I'm thinking when he's practicing his holds, I was like, he's got to be kind of shaking too a little bit. Just like thinking, I can't mess this up. The snap was not perfect. But you do have to give credit to Mitch Wisnowski for getting it done on that hold. That was something that was a little nerve-wracking. There are a couple of things I want to get to. For one, this touchdown by the Saints, I've had a little change of thoughts on it.
First and 10. Has time. Going over the middle. Caught Smith. Breaks the tackle to 10. Still going! Touchdown, New Orleans!
Now, sure, you do want the touchdown, right? But when you're watching that play from New Orleans, shout out Fox for both those audio clips. But when you're watching that touchdown play to New Orleans and you rewatch it, they put out a bunch formation to the right. Then they just spread Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn into the end zone. So they just had them both run a go route basically to take the secondary because they were playing zone. And then left on Tre'Quan Smith was Fred Warner and Marcel Harris, who had the other third of the field as a safety. But Fred Warner was put on Tre'Quan Smith. I don't know if the Saints wanted to score the touchdown on that play. Now, they were very fortunate to do so, but it would have been it was a successfully drawn up play. But if Fred Warner completes that tackle, right? If he doesn't miss the tackle, if Akella Witherspoon doesn't miss the tackle either, then they're at the 10-yard line, right? With 50 seconds to go. I don't know if the Saints wanted that touchdown scored because of leaving 50 seconds on the board. Now, I know on the clock, rather. I know that you want to score a touchdown when you can, get the points that you can, but the Saints offense had been going through the Niner defense like no one else has this season. I think they had enough faith in them to get 10 yards within 50 seconds. And they also had a timeout, too. So I don't know if they wanted that Tre'Quan Smith to be a score. I don't know if they wanted that play to be a touchdown. But that you know what? That's in the end, it played into the Niners' favor. But I'm rewatching that. I'm thinking, you know, if Fred Warner makes that tackle 10 yards, I got to get 10 yards in 50 seconds. I know that you're taking a chance against the Niner defense, but it's just a thought that ran through my head. I don't know if they necessarily wanted to score that touchdown. If Fred Warner or Akella Witherspoon would have made the tackle, then we could be looking at a different story completely in this game. They would have ran out the clock a little more. From the 5-1-0, the refs also missed a penalty on the last field goal attempt to win the game. What did the defensive lineman hurdle the offensive line? Should have been a penalty. I don't I don't know if there's necessarily any penalty toward the end of the game. One that I want to talk about, too, is that fake punt. Why are the Saints so confused? It feels like if you are pulling a fake punt, right, and you're doing that with Taysom Hill and they broke the entire thing up, it's like, why, like, you could, if that was possible, then you'd just be putting the backup quarterback in on every punt situation and just throwing deep and hoping for a penalty. If they would have called a penalty on that, then you're just thinking, well, what's the point of these field goals then? Or what's the point of these punts? Like, if you're just going to, if you could just go out and throw a deep ball and try and get a penalty out of it, then what's the point of punting anymore? I was so confused by Sean Payton's, you know, just decision there to go after the ref. And you know, he was talking about how it was holding. Who cares? It's on a punt. Like, I understand that the rules probably do apply if you are punting the football, but you're not punting the football. You're trying to run a fake. And Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhart were doing an excellent job on the broadcast just explaining that when you're punting, those rules go out the window. From the 714, remember when you said Drew Brees and that offense wouldn't be a problem for the Niners? Don't overlook. Yeah, I do remember when I said that, and I was completely wrong. And I think a lot of people were. Did you expect them to put up 46 on the Niner defense? I did not. I really didn't. The one thing that I thought it was going to be a relatively low scoring game. I really did, but Drew Brees and Jimmy Garoppolo showed that they both understand when the big game is coming to them, and they're both going to perform. Man, they were both fantastic. You had Jimmy Garoppolo going 26 for 35 at 349 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception. You had Drew Brees going 29 for 40, throwing five touchdowns, and he also ran in for one as well. I mean, as far as predictions were going for the game, I thought I did okay. We were talking about the guys who we felt like are going to be the most dangerous for the 49ers to face, and we came to the conclusion that Michael Thomas was that number one guy. A lot of people were scared of Alvin Kamara, but I was telling them that, you know, he's not having the same season that he normally has. He could hurt you in the passing game, but just running the football, he hasn't been the same Alvin Kamara running the football. And again, yesterday, 13 carries for 25 yards. Not that dangerous. Latavius Murray was just way more of a factor. 7 carries for 69 yards. I thought that, you know, there were certain situations where, you know, Drew Brees in the season so far, since coming back from injury, you're like, he's not looking like the same Drew Brees. He's not looking like the same Drew Brees. But you know what? That's what happens when the 49ers come to town, I guess. That's what happens, is he feels like he needs to flip a switch and turn it on, because he hasn't looked like that all season. That was Drew Brees' best game by far. From the 707, why wasn't that game prime time? You can't flex everything, you know? It should have been prime time, but you can't flex everything. If you're like, every game for the 49ers should be prime time in that sense, because in that regard, because every game seems to be a good one. It should have been a prime time, but you can't just flex every single game. From the 408 and the Chilton Auto Body text line, Fred Warner did not have his best game. Jared Cook was out after that touchdown, and you know what? Actually, I'm going to play the play right here, because I do question this touchdown.
That's Jared Cook in motion. He's got touchdowns today. Brees on the fake. Big drop. Going deep again. Cook's open again, and he holds on! Touchdown!
So, from the Fox broadcast, you're thinking it's an obvious catch, and it's an obvious catch. But to you, on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, did you feel like that second touchdown from Jared Cook wasn't a catch, because you saw the ball came loose as he was coming down, and in slow-mo it looked way more obvious, but in real time, it seemed like, wait, that ball actually looked like it could be out. And here's the reason why I think that the play was called correctly, and it should have stuck being a catch, because you got to look at these things on both sides, right? whenever there's a certain play like that, a controversial play, one which you're thinking, you know, that wasn't a catch, that was a penalty, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you think of any different play, that one specifically, if that would have been George Kittle on the 49ers side, on 49ers on offense, and they would have called that, and if they wouldn't have called that a touchdown, and that was George Kittle, you'd be saying, no, that was a catch. That was a catch for sure. So I'm glad they actually made that call. I'm glad they called that a touchdown, because if George Kittle were in the same exact situation, then that would have meant that, you know, they would have called a touchdown on that same play too. So I was really okay with that call. Someone asking here from the 480 on the Chilton Autobody text line, what you think of Juszczyk selling the hit on the head on that 3rd-and-8? He didn't sell it. And if he did, then good on him. You know why guys flop in soccer? It's because it gets them an advantage, right? And I don't imagine that Juszczyk was selling anything. I would think that a 200-plus-pound person coming at you at full speed when you're heading to the ground and landing on you would hurt a little bit. So I'm not going to say that Juszczyk was faking that or selling anything. But if he did, then good on him. Because, you know, we see like flops in basketball that are really frustrating because guys get tapped, barely tapped, and they fall to the ground and act like they got, you know, hit in the head with a basketball. But in football, those plays, I don't know if you're thinking, I need to sell this. I need to sell this so I can get a flag. Those plays are happening so quickly. Like, I would give Juszczyk a lot of props if he were able to, in that split second, say, oh, I got to fake this so I can get a flag. I got to fake this so I can get a flag. I don't think he sold anything. Would there have been a flag thrown if he didn't hold on to his head and he just plopped right back up? I don't know. I really don't know. Those are calls that more than anything, I'm confused by in football. Football's a very confusing sport in general, but plays like that, I just don't know the answer anymore. I really don't. From the 408, the Saints left points on the field when they did not convert any of their two-point conversions. And I made that point at the beginning of the game, or the beginning of the show, rather. It's just those two plays at the beginning and at the end, stopping the two-point conversion, those are the ones that get lost in the sauce. You know, those ended up being the biggest defensive plays of the game. See, that's what's crazy. Two-point conversions that they failed to convert on. That's just icing on the 49ers and Saints cake. This game was full of everything. They're trading body blows in the first half. At first, it was a little more leaning a little more toward the Saints, but then the 49ers were coming back with some explosive plays of their own. And oh yeah, when the Saints scored again, and they were down 27-14. Then Kyle Shanahan comes in and puts Emmanuel Sanders as a quarterback. He's thrown one pass in his career for a touchdown, so now he's 2 for 2 with 2 touchdowns. He's got a long way to chase Mohamed Sanu for the best throwing wide receiver of all time. But Emmanuel Sanders coming in on that trick play to make it 27-21, that the game had everything. I said at the beginning of the show today, I feel like Stefan from Saturday Night Live, that Bill Hader character, when he's just listening off like the clubs. This game has everything. Turnovers. I can't even do it. Like, I see why Bill Hader starts laughing. But the game had everything that you'd want. And these last two games, the one with the 49ers and the Ravens, I don't know if the Ravens are going to be making the Super Bowl because they're still a young team, and you wonder if they could still sustain their style of play in the playoffs. But I think we'd agree from last week that we would like a 49ers and a Ravens Super Bowl. But this one, the 49ers and the Saints game, going to be, if that could be the NFC title game, I think that would be the choice of a lot of football fans right now. From the 530, the catch rule states you must maintain control through the ground. Cook did not. Bad call. Megatron can tell you. But those calls were unfair, and they've changed some things, which is good. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad call. Those ones on Megatron were for sure a bad call. You know, the Dez Bryant catch. those ones were bad calls. At least they've changed it a little bit, because these guys, when they play like that, they deserve some. Like, if that wouldn't have been a touchdown and you're looking at that on the other side, you're thinking, like, okay. Like, if that were George Kittle, I would much rather that be a catch than a non-catch. All right, coming up, Steve Weisch at 7 o'clock, Alex Boone at 7:30, and Jerry Rice at 8:40. Thanks for joining me, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.